You're listening to the NHExit.org podcast.
And Russell, you've been doing a different sort of outreach on Sundays in Keene, but you were telling me you're thinking about switching it, or are in the process of switching it to NH Independence outreach.
Yes, all of us have been thinking about having some sort of table, just like the pack has had tables at certain events. And we've been thinking about having just general NH Exit outreach. So pretty soon, maybe this Saturday night, depending on weather, we'll be in Railroad Square with a table. And so I'm just gathering stuff from all you guys to have things for people to look at and stuff like that. And that'll be fun. And then if there's a couple of us there, we could record the conversations and upload that too, which would be good for people that support us and people that hate us.
Russell, would you be able to, could we expect you to come on up next Tuesday for the Redeclaration of Independence happening in Concord as well? Because I'll be there.
No, I can't make that one.
Damn it. Well, let me think. Ian, are you coming up for that?
I think I probably can. It starts at, 11?
11 a.m.
Yeah.
What day?
It's Tuesday. This coming up.
I think Chris Wade has the NYTAC banner. I think still. And he needs to give it to Russell. But I think we have to do a little... cargo train to bring it up to hand it off to me next Tuesday. We should have a negative table.
Yeah, I do find myself wondering what this event is going to be like, given that it's 8 hours or something, 8-9 hours long.
Yeah. Regina,
there's no plan by the organizers, right, for any kind of speeches or anything, right?
Sign this petition.
I'm sorry, I missed what you said there.
The organizers, Regina and Derek, they envision people coming in and out over the course of the day to come and sign it. They'll have a speaker. They'll have a microphone, they'll have a projector and a screen, and it's going to be on the steps of the State House, and I think they plan on sticking around for the whole day. I know I'm not working next Tuesday, so I can do that.
Yeah, well, that's good. The only thing right now, Matt, I'm getting a massive echo from you.
I'm hearing echo from you, too.
I know. I don't know why that is, because I'm on a headphone. I shouldn't have any echo. And sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But, that's kind of funny. Yes, yeah, I can't come on Tuesday.
I mute. Maybe it was me. I'm going to mute. Let's see if it still echoes.
Yeah, let me try it right now. I don't hear anything right now. That's better. I can't come on Tuesday. I work normal weekdays during the day, so... and then you have that Tuesday off, Matt, so you're going to be able to do, are you going to be there for 2-3 hours or something?
I could. I mean, I have the whole day off and I do not mind, giving the independence campaign good face time to some folks who are adjacent thinking.
Well, also you'll be able to hang out with them and learn more from them. And, this is outside, which building is this outside of?
The State House.
And it looks like Tuesday will be good weather, so.
Yeah.
So that's good.
We're having a cold rain on the State House right now.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah, that's funny. As soon as Ian tried to talk, we start getting an echo.
I was thinking about what we could do or what I could do up there. Is sort of my usual thing whenever there's some kind of event where likely ally types will be. I'd like to bring up the petition from the NH Exit website, just a printed version of it, and get people to sign the petition and, give me their emails, of course, and also hand them out flyers and things like that.
Video interview?
We've been doing video interviews. We haven't done some in some time, and we haven't actually put anything out on that yet. We just have a bunch of footage that we've been grabbing, so we could do that too if it'll be a nice day. So I think, you know, Bonnie and I could probably come up there from 11 to 1.
Yeah.
And if it's going strong, we can stay later. But if it's just like a slow trickle of a handful of people that are coming to get a thing notarized and then they're leaving, we probably won't be incentivized to stay for much longer than a couple hours.
Well, I'll make sure I'm there for that time.
All right, cool.
We are joined by Mr. Penguin.
Yay.
Oh, and by the way, Riley's been quiet.
Yeah, I don't have much to say right now, so.
You know, Riley, if you just are going to sit here and record, we're going to start thinking you're the Fed.
Ah, okay.
So, Mr. Penguin, Matt and Ian were just talking about plans for Tuesday.
What's happening on Tuesday?
Next Tuesday.
Oh, next Tuesday. Next Tuesday. Then I don't know what the weather is next Tuesday.
What is next Tuesday?
Some of the Seacoast Patriots have organized a redeclaration of independence event, and where NYPAC is supporting it because it's adjacent. Their civics is their approach to it is actually it's like they want to declare independence from the corporation and go back to the Constitution, but they don't want to secede. But it doesn't matter because it's good exposure for and a way to show, you know, enthusiastic support for, you know, when we go to testify for the study commission and the constitutional amendment later this spring. Okay. You know, they're if you guys like learning about the history of Washington, D.C., you know, everyone thinks that the Organic Act of 1871, which just created a you know, it just took two former districts of Washington, D.C., and they made it into one thing. But you can look at all the other organic acts that have happened for 1871 for D.C. that happened. And it's the same kind of law. And the same kind of law that established D.C. in 1871 is no different than, let's say, an act that establishes a territory. And it's just very silly, but it's useful.
So if these guys want us to declare, or, you know, people declare independence from this corporation, mm-hmm. where would that leave them? Would they be free of income taxes?
I signed it's safe to sign, but I wouldn't act out anything different because it's, you know, it's like sovereign citizen kind of stuff. Like, we're sovereign peoples. And, you know, the way, you know, the states are the sovereigns that created the federal government, not the actual general population. It's like when people want to say, like, oh, just do the national popular vote. That's sovereign citizens is like the national popular vote of libertarianism. see how confusing that was?
And well, I would also guess if they're calling themselves Seacoast Patriots, they're not libertarians.
Yeah, they're more like conservatives.
Virginia, you know, they're big Trump fans. They're big supporters of President Trump and you know.
So I wonder what that means for them if they were to, you know, declare independence from this thing. Would they feel like New Hampshire's free from other stuff, or what would they be free? What would they be declaring independence from?
These would be questions you could ask them. But I got to object again to the term sovereign citizen being thrown around here. I don't think you're going to actually find anyone calling themselves a sovereign citizen.
Yeah.
That's a federal government term that they use to misalign and belittle these people. They are not sovereign citizens. You cannot be a sovereign citizen. You cannot be a sovereign, which is a king, and a citizen, which is a serf, at the same time.
You know, I've had that happen more than once where, you know, like a cop or somebody looks at you and says, are you one of these sovereign citizen guys? And I say, oh, no. So, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. That's their category.
They're getting like FBI information that's coming around about so-called sovereign citizens. And it's like, well, the signs of a sovereign citizen is if they cite the Constitution and if they ask you if you have an oath and, like, you know, all the stuff that people like us support. But no one calls themselves a sovereign citizen.
See, that's what's funny is I could have sworn I've met some people like that. But it's like maybe I'm, you know, just conflating things or the PSYOP is working on me.
There are people who call themselves sovereigns.
That's what I was wondering.
But that's where it stops.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Gotcha. So, Ian, you were telling us some of the stuff. Is there any of the stuff that, from your meeting that you want to put in the on the recording?
Sure. We've got our PR girl, Yvonne. She's got to work. She's got work to do. She's doing stuff. And she's helping out the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. We were talking about starting a new Twitter account or social media account that would be sort of a coalition of different organizations. I don't know if that's going to come to fruition. She may just end up helping out the Foundation instead. So that's still kind of up in the air. Jason Gerhardt, of course, has filed the CACR, the essentially not quite a carbon copy of the last one. The language is very similar, but there have been a few words added to the front of the relevant statement about declaring independence and putting it to a vote of the people. If essentially the vote will be taken as before, if it passes the state house and the Senate, it will go to the ballot. And the question on the ballot, I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but the question essentially will be very similar to last time. But it'll have a trigger of 40 trillion, meaning that if the people of New Hampshire vote for this proposal and it passes with 2/3 of the vote, then it will essentially sit dormant until such time that the federal government debt reaches $40 trillion. And then the Constitution will be amended to declare peaceful independence from the federal government. So that's the difference this time around. That was Jason Gerhardt's idea to put a trigger in. And while that may be disappointing to some of us as far as it's not the exact same thing as last time, some people think it's a great idea.
It'll start new conversations that the last one didn't.
So Bonnie likes it. I think it'll probably give some other state reps maybe an excuse to support it this time who didn't before. But either way, that's what we, you know, that's what we had to do to get this thing through. And besides, 40 trillion is like, no, it's not going to be long till 40 trillion.
Yeah, some people might be like, well, it'll be a while away. We don't have to worry about this.
They might pass 40 trillion before we pass this.
That's entirely possible.
It takes so many steps here in New Hampshire to pass it. So he submitted it. What's the next step? Like the office comes back with telling us what's acceptable.
It goes to every state rep when they submit a bill. It goes to the what they call Legislative Services Office, which is essentially an office of a handful of lawyers. And they take the request from the state reps, who are generally not lawyers, and they lawyerize it, they legalize it or whatever, and they put all their legalese language together to try to represent what the intention of the state reps were with their bill request. So that's where it's going to sit basically for the next roughly 2 months, as I understand it. Now, I don't know the exact date. There's a certain time, I think in November, when the legislative services people have to send back the bill to the state rep who submitted it. And they say, does this look like what you wanted? This is our write-up. Does this look like what you wanted? And if so, the state rep will approve it. And if not, they'll make some further changes. And then it'll go back and be reviewed again.
It seems like last time that went pretty smoothly. And when they sent that CACR back, it was acceptable, wasn't it? It seemed like that's what happened last time.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I don't think it needed any further changes after they sent it back. They didn't mangle it or anything like that.
Okay. So that's what's the status of that one. Matt, do you know the status of, has somebody submitted the bill to create a study committee?
Yes, that was Representative Stan Anastasio.
Okay, so he put that one in. So that's in the same position right now, huh?
Yes. So as far as bills that NIPAC is concerned about, we got the CACR, we got the study commission, and then there's a what else is there? A selective service sanctuary state submitted by Tom Mannion. And then Mike Belcher is doing one where federal law enforcement cannot do anything unless a sheriff is present in New Hampshire. Yeah. So those two are more on the nullification side.
Okay. And so you're calling you're shortening your thing to NIPAC, the way you say it, NHIPAC is NIPAC. Okay.
I've always said that.
Okay. I think you've always said it so fast that I don't hear it.
Yeah. I've always said that.
You're just getting old.
Some of us, some of the voters in New Hampshire are quite old. So,
What I want to do with our website is to make it easier to search for and to search for other things like New Hampshire Independence, like the foundation is nhindependence.org. So I want to actually change our site's domain name into nhindependencepac.org. So that way, all you have to do is search for NH Independence, and then you'll come up with both the PAC and the and the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of wondering what's NIPAC.
Yeah, that sounds good.
But I just got the guy. I got to work with WordPress. That's something that we got to work with. And Alu is still the owner of our WordPress site. And I was chatting with him earlier this week, and he doesn't know how to give someone else ownership of it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, things happen. Yeah. I don't know if you guys know the major victory we had about a week ago. Those of us that were on Facebook. Our Facebook New Hampshire exit group was completely out of control and was getting spammed. And Dave added me as an admin, so now I can do bashing of whack-a-mole on spammers.
On that topic, there's an NH exit group on Gab that has like 30 people in it, and I don't think anybody posts. Does that group need to exist? Because I know that the New Hampshire Patriots group is the biggest New Hampshire group, and people post that on the regular.
Okay. Well, the Gab group was probably started by me, and I don't post there because when I go look there, there's nobody there. I think I'm just going to keep it alive because it doesn't hurt anything.
Cool. Okay.
Because I'm not part of the other one. But, yeah, maybe I'll add more to it. But, yeah, there's some of these things where people aren't really hanging out. So the group that you do on that you're a part of on Gab, do they talk secession?
I normally just use it for posting. Like if something's posted by the PAC on Twitter, it's going to be posted on Gab as well in that group. And everybody in that group, it's a New Hampshire audience, so they can become familiar with it.
Mm. That's cool. That's all the stuff I was talking about. What else happened with your conversation, Ian, with Yvonne? Was there anything else that happened?
No, it was just mostly touching base with Jason Gerhard because he wasn't on our meeting last week with Matt Santanastasio. At that point, we didn't know what level of involvement he wanted to have. Turns out he's the one who was willing to file the bill. But we didn't know that last week.
He's the guy that's worried about re-election.
Right.
Like you've run into that again, huh? Some reps. So you individually talked to some reps and that was their thing?
I haven't spoken to very many reps personally, but we did have a meeting last week with
a certain rep named Emily Phillips, who was a new rep. And she has been historically, in her short time there, very pro-independence, supposedly. But the whole personal situation that Alu is going through has her worried. And apparently she's not the only one. Matt Santanastasso has spoken with multiple reps, apparently, who've used this excuse, this fear about what's going to happen with Alu, because he is like, you know, he's one of the top secession activists out there. But I tried to tell her that he's not going to be the face of this campaign. He's not a state rep. He's not going to sponsor a bill because he's not a state rep. And at this time, he resigned from the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. He's no longer on their board of directors at this time. So he's not going to be speaking on behalf of them. And
yeah, that's the thing is
with Alu, completely overblown.
Yeah, that's the thing is with Alu, he couldn't even do stuff with the PAC because he was doing the foundation stuff. So he's, I think of him as one of 10 people that do this sort of stuff, you know, especially right now, especially. He's not in charge of the foundation. I don't see how he's the face of this at all. The face of this right now is the state reps that are proposing it.
Yeah, exactly. It's completely irrational, the fear about, you know, him. But that's where some of these people are. So I think that kind of the point of what we're doing now is, well, we're just going to move forward and we're going to try to get as much media as we can get. There's going to be an approach to media this week with the Larry Elder clip of Carla interviewing a president or a presidential candidate about secession. There's a clip where he says that it's not a crazy idea. And so she's going to shop that around this week, get an appearance maybe for Carla on the media. And then once the bills, you know, she starts shopping around the fact that the bills have been filed, then she'll be trying to get appearances for Jason and for Matt and for Carla and for Matt from NHI PAC. So basically we're going to be spreading the media out to these individuals. And so people like Emily Phillips will be able to see that no one's talking about Alu. This isn't about Alu. This is about secession. This isn't about personalities. We've got several different people who are repping secession in the media. So there's not just going to be one person to pick on.
Yeah, I'm looking up Emily on Facebook. I talked to her for like a half an hour at the Liberty Forum last spring. And so I'm sure she's so positive with this. I think after a while it'll make sense to her again. That would make sense. I think that would happen. Cause like you're saying, I mean, we purposely have multiple different groups, multiple people doing this. And it's not one person. It's not like there's one guy running for king dragging this over the finish line. So.
That's the nice thing about the New Hampshire independence movement is there's a lot of people working on this. There are a lot of people talking about it. At least a lot more than I imagine there to be.
And hardly anybody complains about Riley, so I think we're okay for a while.
Yeah, at least for a while.
One thing I think, this is Bonnie, one thing that I think is so weird about it is, like, even if they do, like, drudge up, like, oh, look what's going on with this man. His name is Alu. He is related to independence. Well, I don't think it's going to be, like, pointed at Emily if she has sponsored a bill. Like, I don't know. I just think that's, like, a far reach. But I do agree with Russell that she is pretty cool in general, yeah. And would probably eventually turn around if this PR does well.
Yeah, that's why we just have to stay the course, you know? And then I think some of these state reps are going to come back around, and maybe some others, if it's becomes popular, will run out in front of the parade and pretend like they were with us the whole time.
And we're going to accept any of these Republicans that jump back on it, you know, because that's okay.
And perhaps any Democrats who wish to as well.
Yeah, Matt, have you met anybody thinking along those lines? Any Democrats that have had any positive conversations?
No.
No, not yet. Well, maybe it'll happen.
Not yet, yes.
Who was the person suggesting talking to the anti-war Democrats? I know somebody was talking about that because there are some. So
maybe Derek.
No, it was something – I don't really see anything that Derek posts anywhere, so it must have been somebody else talking about that. But maybe he could talk to him. Is Derek anti-war?
Oh, yeah, he's leading Defend the Guard.
Well, I think the Defend the Guard guys might want to go to war sometime. I'm anti-war. does Derek not want to have anything to do with the Ukraine war?
I believe so.
I
believe he concurs with that.
Yeah, okay. Well, that'd be interesting. You know, are all the Democrats in the New Hampshire State House, are they all okay with the current war, I wonder?
I don't think they are.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe some of those, we could at least have conversations with them, and then maybe they'll change their mind in 4 years. I don't know.
So at the Defend the Guard rally we had at the golf tournament back in June, Jonah Wheeler came out. So there's a good guy.
Cool. Who else is... what else do we need to talk about? I'm kind of hosting this time, Ian and Mr. Penguin, because I was here first, so it kind of worked. Does anybody else have stuff to say?
It's fine with me. It is our first Monday meeting. It's probably worth mentioning we are no longer doing the Sunday meetings because, well, we already have more people attending the Monday meeting, and we only gave 24 hours notice for it. So it's on the Free State Project calendar at this point as a repeating event, 7 p.m. Mondays at meet.nhexit.us. That'll take you right into this room.
Monday night meeting is a special place in my heart. Because Monday nights is when my Boy Scout troop would meet in middle and high school growing up. And then in college, Monday nights is when we would have Leadership Laboratory with ROTC. And here we are again, the return of the Monday night meeting.
Now we just need to get all the Boy Scout groups in New Hampshire to be talking about independence.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what we need, because I think they're probably a little rah-rah United States government.
Too much so.
We need them pledging to a new flag or something.
Yeah.
Also, so back to one of my things is, can you guys think of anything else I should have at an info table? I'm thinking about Alu's books, any other secession
maybe
books.
Maybe not his books.
I'm willing to, we're a big conglomeration. I mean, Alu's not the worst of us. You know, and if you guys have any good secession related books I could have just for on a table to have people look at, I'm going to be selling Mr. Penguin's cool. It's not me. It's not you. It's me. T-shirts and things like that, and handing out whatever I can get my hands on. So that's the kind of stuff I know about. It's just hard.
You and I have discussed this, Russell. I've got a few things. We got the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence flyer. I also have some, I don't know how many, I'll have to take a look. I have some song sheets for the New Hampshire anthem that you might be interested in.
We have one of all those secession books in Spanish.
Yeah, we got that too.
Well, that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
But I will share that with all of the Spanish-speaking, independence-minded people in Keene that I meet. yeah, that sounds good.
The first version of my podcast about New Hampshire independence came out. Russell posted it on his website.
Yeah, right now Riley's first one is mixed in with all the other podcasts that I've done for, you know, on nhexit.org. But I sent out the link of his individual one so you guys can find that if you want to check that one out. And then who's going to be your next? Are you wanting to interview somebody else next?
Right? That's what I would like. I would like suggestions on who I could interview next on New Hampshire Independence.
I volunteer.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's the obvious idea of interviewing people who are already on board, like Matt Sabarin or, you know, Carla or whatever. Those are the obvious go-tos. But what about what about like approaching some politicos, like, you know, some higher up at a Republican Party, you know, the Republican vice chair or something like that?
And I would do that. I would do that.
Inviting those kind of people on and just, you know, not being hostile, but just, you know, trying to feel them out.
Okay. I think that'd be a good idea.
Anybody that you have on, you know, you can promote it to their fans or whatever and hopefully spread the listenership.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do some interviews for my podcast, but I'm not going to start that till probably October. But yeah, that would be good. Maybe, you know, I was going down my list and of supporters and detractors, but also, yeah, Riley, in some ways that is a good thing to get whoever you can that has a big following, and then and for the better or for worse, they might not agree with us, but then they'd be checking it out.
That's what I want to do. I want to have a conversation around independence on why people support it, why people don't support it, et cetera.
All right. Well, I'm ready to wrap up my recording and leave.
Yeah, we've had a good meeting.
And, cause we do want to keep it not super long, and then also it's good for editing the recording and stuff like that. If we're not too long.
I find generally these meetings, unless there's a lot going on, they're about done after a half hour.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to sign out, and I'm going to stop my recording, and any of you guys that hang out in the after party, that's fine with me, but I'm signing out.
Okay.
Talk to you guys later.